Order.
Questions in the House about the country's defence forces, including this one from Labor's defence spokesman, Phil Goff.
Why did the minister ignore clear warnings from the army in 2011 that the policy of cutting numbers, as I have pointed out, would, quote, significantly impact on their ability to sustain operations, end quote, and warnings from the Navy that the cuts would mean they couldn't put their ships to sea, something that's been borne out this year in practice?
Mr Goff's question was addressed to the Minister of Defence, Jonathan Coleman, but answered for him by one of his Cabinet colleagues.
Honourable Anne Tolley.
Mr Speaker, on behalf of the Minister of Defence, I refute the assertions made in that question. The Chief of Defence...
Point of order.
And that was from Phil Goff.
Mr Speaker, is it in order for the Minister to challenge assertions that I have quoted from the Auditor-General's report?
The Speaker, David Carter, said it was.
Yes, it is certainly in order for the member to do that, for the Minister to do that.
But Labor's shadow leader of the House, Trevor Mallard, disagreed.
My understanding is certainly the conventions of the House is that you don't bring the word of the Auditor-General, who is an officer of Parliament, into doubt, either in debate or in question. And the Minister did.
But that buttered no parsnips for Mr Carter.
I think it would be an odd situation where every comment ever written by the Auditor-General was accepted as gospel by every member of the House.
And the Speaker declined Labor's request for an urgent question on the Auditor-General's report, hot off the press, about threats to our biosecurity.
There is no greater risk now than there was earlier today as a result of that report, and I therefore rule that I am not allowing an urgent question.
That question from Labor's Damien O'Connor had been prompted by a section of the report about the threat of an outbreak of foot and mouth disease, as Trevor Mallard outlined to the Speaker.
It seems to us that we have a very real situation now where we have a gap in our system, and so because of the very serious nature of, for example, foot and mouth disease, to our agricultural system, it is a question on which really the whole country and our economic future hangs on the answer.
Trevor Mallard said the question should be asked before the House adjourned for a week, but the leader of the House, Jerry Brownlee, argued that the break provided a chance to come up with a better answer.
During the time that we have in recess, officials will look at the hypothetical position being put before the House today, and be able to give a better explanation of why for some time this gap has existed and how they expect to fill it.
And we may know that when Parliament resumes on Tuesday, March the 12th. Now to the committee rooms and this report from Rhys Lyon.
An interim report on fracking was presented by the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, Jan Wright.
So, what is fracking? Just to cover it, it's a contraction of the term hydraulic fracturing, obviously, because that's such a mouthful. Using pressurised liquid to crack rock. There are many concerns about it that cover particularly the contamination of groundwater, the potential for it to cause earthquakes and the greenhouse gases associated with it.
Speaking to the Local Government and Environment Committee, Jan Wright said most risks associated with fracking could be avoided.
Cutting to the chase, there are four things that matter, four things that you have to get right. First one is watch where you drill. You need to keep it away from active faults and you need to keep away from important aquifers. Very, very important. The second thing is the integrity of the well needs to be multiple casings. Some of the problems overseas have occurred where there weren't. Multiple layers of steel. The cement needs to be of high quality, strongly bonded to the rock and able to withstand ground movements. The third thing is avoiding spills and leaks on the surface. And the fourth one is dealing with waste. If you re-inject wastewater and you do it poorly, you could risk contaminating groundwater and you could again risk triggering earthquakes.
Jan Wright said her interim report came with interim findings,
which echoes that of the very thorough study that was done in the UK by the Royal Society. It wasn't a government study, it was done by Royal Society of scientists and indeed engineers. What it did is says the risks of it can be managed provided that best operational best practices are implemented and enforced.
Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, Jan Wright, presenting her interim report on the impacts of fracking.
That report from Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.